It's important to understand when coming into Bitcoin that this isn't just another application. This isn't some new solution to the same old problems. It's about stepping outside the boundaries of our normal worldview and seeing a more fundamental problem that has been almost invisible until a tool like Bitcoin came along to make it clear to us. The best in Bitcoin made audible. Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible, everybody. Hopefully this has an intro for you guys. I had a hard drive just kick the bucket on me. And of course, it's the one with all of my templates, all of my piecemeal files and everything that goes in, and all my historical records of all of my past episodes. So that's great that now I have to deal with that. but we are going to do a read, and we are going to jump right into it here. And this is a great one for those to share out to those people who are just finding their way into Bitcoin or ready to make that first step into Bitcoin. And it's by Sylvan Sorrell, and it's titled, "If you only read one thing before buying Bitcoin, read these few lines. You'll get the best possible start in this new world." There you go. You've finally made up your mind. After months of hesitation, you finally decided to buy Bitcoin for the first time. I'm not going to tell you that this is a bad thing, since I think this decision will change your life forever. Your life will change, but for the better. However, for this to happen, you must make the effort to read the few lines of this story before you buy Bitcoin for the first time. There is no need to lie to me. I know that it was the greed that led you to decide to buy Bitcoin. I'm not here to judge you. To tell you the truth, the majority of people who first bought Bitcoin in the last 5 years were initially attracted by the incredible return Bitcoin offers its users. No one has forgotten that Bitcoin has transformed $1 invested in 2010 into $90,000 by the end of 2019. A return of over 9,000,000% over a decade is something that had simply never been seen in history until Bitcoin. So Bitcoin is quite revolutionary. By buying Bitcoin, you're not making a mistake. But if you buy Bitcoin and stop there after your first purchase, you are making a mistake. You came to Bitcoin for the money. Now you have to find out the ugly truth. The people who will benefit from Bitcoin as a whole are those who will go beyond the financial side of Bitcoin. To do this, you will need to develop your critical thinking skills to question the things that the education system has taught you since you were a child. You probably think that the current monetary and financial system has always been there. That is the first mistake. The current monetary and financial system was unilaterally instituted in August 1971 by Richard Nixon when he ended the US dollar convertibility to gold. So the current system is very recent. It is an experiment that will celebrate its 50th anniversary in 2021. Until now, you have never really been interested in anything to do with how money works or the economy. However, if you want to buy Bitcoin, you need to understand some basics. That's what I'm doing with this quick course for the impatient. At first glance, you might think that the fact that the US dollar is no longer convertible to gold has no impact on your life today. It's another mistake that 99% of people in the population make. Gold is something tangible that exists in limited quantities. The fact that the US dollar is no longer pegged to gold as it was during the Bretton Woods system from 1944 to 1971 allows the Federal Reserve to print as many US dollars as it wants. Every other central bank in the world does the same thing. Since March of 2020, the Fed has printed more than $3 trillion. This represents an increase of almost 20% in the outstanding money supply of the US dollar. The current system is a get poor slowly scheme. Again, you might think that all this money supply stuff is not your concern when you just want to buy Bitcoin. It would be another mistake to think that way. The great monetary inflation that we are currently experiencing worldwide will devalue all fiat currencies. This phenomenon has been present since 1971, but it will increase in the coming years due to the easy money policies of the Fed and other central banks. This simple example will make you jump out of your chair. The purchasing power of $1,000 in 1971 only represents a purchasing power of $150 in 2020. This represents an 85% drop in the value of the US dollar since the current monetary system was introduced. The current system has trapped us all in an infernal spiral where the printing of infinite amounts of fiat money keeps impoverishing us. Of course, there is one exception to this widespread impoverishment. An illustration of the infinite vicious circle of the current monetary and financial system. The Fed and other central banks are printing more and more money out of thin air. Governments finance stimulus packages by increasing their public debt, leading to great monetary inflation that produces devaluation of the US dollar and other fiat currencies. Then the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, leading to the fact that the real problems are not solved, only postponed. Their magnitude gets stronger every time, and this leads to economic crisis. Which brings us back to the Fed and other central banks printing more and more money out of thin air. The richest take advantage as never before of the current system to see their fortunes swell again and again. This is the famous Cantillon effect for which Bitcoin is your best antidote. This Cantillon effect states that the way money is managed by a country is not neutral. The US dollar printed in mass by the Fed benefits mostly the richest people. By the time the money poured into the system reaches the poorest, they have already been hit hard by the devastating effects of monetary inflation. The poor are finding it increasingly difficult to survive in such an unfair system. Bitcoin is a fair system that benefits everyone. Your choice to buy Bitcoin is therefore a smart decision to protect your wealth from the quantitative easing monetary policies of central banks. With Bitcoin, things are much clearer. There will never be more than 21 million Bitcoin in circulation. Inflation of the supply of new Bitcoins is automatically halved every 210,000 blocks mined. Bitcoin highlights the virtues of quantitative hardening. This monetary policy is the opposite of quantitative easing, which is abused by central banks. Quantitative hardening is phenomenal protection for you as a Bitcoin user. You are guaranteed that the units of Bitcoin in your possession will become scarcer and scarcer over time, allowing the Bitcoin price to rise sharply. I believe that the Bitcoin price will reach $1 million within 20 years for two main reasons. The rising demand for Bitcoin will meet the inevitable decline in the issuance of new Bitcoins. Continued currency devaluation of the US dollar in the coming decade. By buying Bitcoin, you will have protected your wealth from all of the arbitrary decisions made by a minority who are not representative of the people. However, buying Bitcoin is not enough. With Bitcoin, you are in total control at all levels. You must not make the mistake that some people make of thinking that there is no price to pay for the freedom Bitcoin gives you with what you own. The freedom that Bitcoin gives you comes with a price. It is up to you to take responsibility for what you own in Bitcoin. If you want to be truly in control of your Bitcoin wealth, you must abide by the following golden rule. Not your keys, not your bitcoins. Your bitcoins are yours only if you have the private keys associated in your possession. Otherwise, your Bitcoins can be confiscated at any time. After purchasing Bitcoin on a trading platform, you will, therefore, need to transfer your Bitcoins to a hardware wallet immediately. This will allow you to truly secure your Bitcoins. U.S. banks have just been given the green light by the U.S. banking regulator to offer their customers a service to buy and hold Bitcoin. It may reassure you to think that you will buy Bitcoin with your current bank, but don't be fooled. Banks are part of the problem with the current system. They cannot be part of the solution. Bitcoin is the solution as long as you buy your Bitcoins yourself to own the private keys. Beware of your greed. Also, beware of scams that are always present in the cryptocurrency world. Recently, a Twitter hack saw a Bitcoin scam allowing unscrupulous people to extort nearly 13 Bitcoin. One of the big lessons it teaches us about Bitcoin is that you must never let your greed get the upper hand. Greed is your number one enemy in the Bitcoin world. Greed leads some to believe that by sending $1,000 to an address on the Bitcoin network, the person behind that address will send back double the amount of Bitcoin. Do not make the mistake of believing this. Bitcoins are scarce. You need to get them wisely by buying them, by accumulating sats, or by getting paid directly in Bitcoin for your work. The golden rule here is to never send your Bitcoins to a third party who asks you for them without a real reason. Only Bitcoin matters. Forget shitcoins. The secret to quietly enjoying the Bitcoin revolution is to become a Bitcoin hodler. This has incredible advantages. By signing up over the long term, you will become one of those who will enjoy the Bitcoin revolution while leading a quiet life. Patience will be the key through your Bitcoin holder journey. Before I let you go ahead and buy Bitcoin for the first time, I have one last piece of advice. Beware like the plague of other existing cryptocurrencies. These cryptocurrencies, often called altcoins, are just shitcoins if you want my advice. They will try to make you believe that they have greater long-term potential than Bitcoin. The marketing teams of the projects behind these cryptocurrencies will try to convince you to buy their tokens by all means. For this reason, these altcoins are constantly criticizing Bitcoin. In a way, this is illogical because without Bitcoin, these altcoins do not exist. Those who try to protect themselves against the risk of Bitcoin failure by diversifying with altcoins are mistaken. If Bitcoin fails, altcoins will fail. When Bitcoin succeeds in its revolution, the majority of altcoins will be long gone. Some people fall into the trap by buying tokens of these altcoins. Sooner or later, you will end up regretting it when you realize that the majority of these altcoins will see their value tend towards zero in the future. Bitcoin is money, not another technology that can be replaced. Bitcoin cannot be replaced by an altcoin for the simple reason that Bitcoin is not a technology, but money. The stability of the Bitcoin protocol that some criticize is there to protect the wealth that you put into the Bitcoin network. Based on this premise, you should not waste your time and money looking for the next Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the next big thing. Bitcoin is the next Bitcoin. Just like the internet has some limits, Bitcoin has some limits. I would be lying to you if I told you otherwise, but just like the internet, which has not been replaced, Bitcoin will not be replaced. Bitcoin will simply evolve thanks to the highly talented developers who work tirelessly to improve its source code. After reading this story, you are ready to buy Bitcoin. I hope you have realized that the trivial purchase you thought you were making is much more than that. Your purchase is a protest against the current system. By buying Bitcoin, you will be voting against the US dollar, which is at the heart a system that does not protect the people. If you reach this level of awareness, then you will be able to join the Bitcoiners. Everything will become possible for you because you will take full control of your destiny. Thank you for your attention. All right, and that concludes the article by Sylvan Sorrell, and I will be sure to link to both the article, and he's actually got a handful of other ones that posted throughout this thing. One is about the education system, don't follow blindly the masses, educate yourself. Another one is linking to the Cantillon effect, the virtues of quantitative hardening, why he, there's a, I think this is his article, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, this is all in Bitcoin We Trust. This is that Medium page. And basically, he lays out his argument in one of these linked as to why he thinks Bitcoin will go to $1 million within 20 years. One about understanding the role of greed and that it's our number one enemy in this space. And then that few understand that Bitcoin is money, not just another technology. So all the basic ideas that were just touched on in this article, which are just, it's just an introduction to a lot of different concepts, and then, you know, a claim on, you know, epic bullishness and the recognition that Bitcoin is a monetary phenomenon, not an application phenomenon, not a retail payments phenomenon, which I think is something so important to stress over and over and over again, because it's deeply misunderstood, even by a lot of people in the space, exactly what that means. So I want to give guys' take on this piece. I thought this was just a really cool little, like, let me give you a little guide around the Bitcoin rabbit hole before you start going down. And huge thanks to Sylvan for this article. Let's go ahead and hit our sponsor for the show, and then we will get Guy's take on this when we come back. So we start this article off, and he basically gets right into, you know, this is going to change your life. And I completely agree. This is one of those situations where Bitcoin is a game changer in the financial world because of how radically responsible for your own value you become. And this is truly unique in a lot of ways. It's scary, you know. It's like having to hold a key with a lot of Bitcoin behind it, to know that you are responsible for that key. It's similar to having like a suitcase just full of cash. Like, you are 100% in control of it, and you can lose it. You can accidentally destroy it. And with the secret key, with a private key of Bitcoin, it's actually kind of easier, because the environment that has been built up around the internet is not made for that level of security. So it means that you've got to go one step further. You've got not your keys, not your coins. You can't just buy it on some exchange and think that it's safe there, that you now own Bitcoin. They are the ones that own Bitcoin. And if they or anyone else in that organization, or somebody who hacks that organization, or an employee in that organization, gets a hold of those private keys and sends it out from that exchange, there really is nothing that can be done. There is no reversing the Bitcoin chain. There is no one you can call to reverse a mistake or to fix a deleted key. And that is unique in finance. Like, the entirety of the monetary and financial system is one based on authority. It's one based on someone else up the ladder having the authority, the right, the power to just dictate what the person down the ladder has or owns. It's one where, at the end of the day, you hope that the ultimate authority, the government, the Federal Reserve, the Supreme Court, whoever it is, recognizes and will defend your right to whatever that is in the financial system, whatever your stock or whatever your bank account or whoever it is owns it, that you own that. But if they don't, you're shit out of luck. There's nothing you can do. They are the keys. Like, you don't have the option of withdrawing it unless you take it out in cash. And good luck with that, you know, for any significant amount of money. And that's what makes Bitcoin different. Bitcoin has none of that. There is no authority. You are the authority. The final arbiter of truth is whether or not you can sign with the private key. is whether or not you have a valid signature. And if you don't, you don't. And if someone else has that for you, then they are the owner, period. And Bitcoin won't care. Bitcoin doesn't know that it's owed to you. If it's on the exchange and the exchange deletes the key, the exchange gets hacked, the exchange doesn't fulfill, just runs off with your money, then Bitcoin cares who has the signature, and that is it. That's the power. That's the unbelievable revolutionary potential of the system. But at the same time, that's also the sobering reality of the system, is that you can't go into it with the same mindset. But with that, if you adjust, if you learn the ins and outs and what it means to hold your own keys and how to hold your own keys, you can get a level of financial sovereignty that's never been possible before. The requirement to learn a little bit about that is not a huge barrier for the overwhelming amount of freedom and sovereignty that you gain from it. There's no way to get sovereignty without learning how to take control of your own crap anyway. So it's time to go ahead and do it. If you're relying on someone else to explain something to you or to show you how to do something or to do your transaction or to hold your keys for you, you're necessarily dependent. That means that is dependence. And we all have to lean on each other at some point, but the point is to learn it, to take that next step and figure it out, because I think it's going to be necessary. I think as the world changes and goes increasingly digital, that hierarchical system, that authority-based system, is really going to fall apart. One thing I tweeted the other day, which didn't get a whole lot of traction, but I still think there's something really interesting to unpack here, is that a system that's based on authority, a system that's based on identifying, the know your customer, anti-money laundering, like let me basically suck every piece of potential identifying information out of my customer so I can essentially whitelist them as a viable person and a real person in the real world, and that they are who they say they are. Those, if you've noticed, like trying to get into some of these systems and avenues and set up these accounts and things, that it's gotten increasingly ridiculous, the level of identification that you have to do. Like it's not uncommon, particularly around like Bitcoin and things, like because Bitcoin is irreversible, fraud is that much more dangerous from the legacy financial side. And because of that, like you're having to take selfies, you're having to write little notes of like, this is exactly what I'm authorizing here. You send in pictures of your ID and stuff, like, because in the digital world, you can't, when you're signing up with these services, you can't drive into the office real quick or into the bank and verify who you are. As we go more and more digital, that won't be an option. And I'm sure you've seen if you haven't, you got to go check it out, but the artificial people and the live face replacement that some of these new like algorithms and kind of artificial intelligence software that can read a situation and can tell, you know, where your face is and all these identification things, and actually in real time replace someone's face. And these things are only going to get better. Like if you've seen like GPT-3 and some of the AI around this, the ability to create fake people and the ability to utilize the vast ocean of identifying information that is just out there. Really, in any sense of it, we are all exposed. It's just because scammers don't have the resources to hit everybody. And it costs billions of dollars every year just to mitigate the fraud, because there are little businesses out there that just hire hundreds of scammers that sign up on behalf of other people. And that's why you have to do these selfies and you have to write a note explicitly holding your ID and for what exchange or service or whatever it is that you're signing up for to list it, because it's too easy to fake these things. Now you could just, you know, quickly Photoshop somebody holding an ID and make it look like you're the one in the photo, or grab a picture from Facebook, do a reverse image search on somebody's face and just grab another picture of them real quick. like having access to all this stuff. And what's funny is that these measures don't make you any safer. In fact, just the worst, just the opposite. It makes you more exposed because you're having to give up more data. This is a problem that has a feedback loop. The more data and information is required to vet who you are in the system, the bigger the fallout when that information is lost, when that information is hacked or leaked out into the, you know, the just the internet. And the more is needed the next time you sign up for something to protect yourself from the information that was already out there. It's going to stop working. Like, you're not going to be able to do that in the digital sphere. And the whole idea of a hierarchical system that is based on authority and based on permissioning certain people to join and not others, an open permissionless system like Bitcoin is inevitably going to be vastly, vastly cheaper and will negate the concept, these fraud problems at the get-go. But when AI can quickly and in real time turn person A into whoever they want to be, person B, like change their face, change their gender. I'm sure you saw the free app that you can use that turns guys into their girl version or vice versa. Like the stuff that's happening right now, this technology is going to accelerate, not slow down. And as you get to the real time ability to do these things, the selfie doesn't do anything. The selfie doesn't help. The note doesn't help. Again, all it does is give more avenues for us to be vulnerable and to be attacked. And I think that system will literally implode. I don't think it's sustainable in a digital future where technology can so quickly and easily replicate, fake, or modify things in real time. And the rise, understand that the technology behind augmented reality and virtual reality that we are seeing exploding on the scene is that technology. Those are the algorithms, those are the amount of like data, taking in the data in your environment to actually project something as if it's in your environment. The better that gets simultaneously, those are the systems that can be used to better in real time put someone else's face on top of yours to make somebody, there's a great Joe Rogan podcast that Joe Rogan never did. It's an algorithm that listens to how he speaks and literally created a whole sequence of things, something about like crazy monkeys doing some stupid crap. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's just an absurd couple of paragraph rant that doesn't seem to make any sense. It's like incoherent, but it literally sounds like Joe Rogan is explaining this to you. And it's a computer program that just took the massive amounts of content that he has available and basically learned to speak like Joe Rogan did. And now you have a convincing piece of audio that it definitely sounds like Joe Rogan said this. Again, these things, a permissioned system that supposedly is able to identify a real person from a fake person and, you know, that I'm supposed to be able to give some information like my address and name and social security number, and that's supposed to let them know that it's definitely me and that I'm not scamming or a fraudster or impersonating. It's just not going to work. So this isn't really just a matter of getting your financial sovereignty back. This is a matter of, all of the other problems aside, the legacy system isn't going to work anymore. The fallout and the cost of that thing is going to be even greater. And that's ignoring the massive monetary problems that we have now. Like the Cantillon effect, the fact that this is, that we've completely misunderstood and or ignored the nature of our financial system, and that we have had a fully fiat, like backed by nothing, there is no reason to like fully trusted system where one party has the sole ability to print endlessly as much money as they want since 1971. And what's funny is that it was actually it wasn't a whole lot different prior to 1971 either. It's just that that's kind of the final nail in the coffin. But the Federal Reserve has been has played its role since 1913, and it has manipulated interest rates as well. It's just that it was forced to do it on a shorter timeline because certain parties, other banking institutions, and other countries could actually basically call the bill due. And that is what changed in 1971. They basically said, all these times that we had to rein this back in or limit how much we did this, well, guess what? We're just taking that off the table completely. We never have to pay anyone anything except dollars, which we have the sole authority to print as many as we want. And, you know, 50 years later, we're printing trillions and trillions and trillions of them by the month. So not really surprising. But this is truly a get poor slowly scheme. I've loved that line. I've read it in like a handful of different ones, but this whole section was just really great because this is what it is. We have a system of false profits and false increases in value that make it appear as if things are getting better. They're nominally getting better, meaning the numbers are going up, but that the standards of living, that the actual value and the ease of your life and the value of your resources aren't actually increasing themselves. Your life doesn't get better. In fact, we are all slowly draining. Our value is actually being drained, and our increased productivity isn't an increase in our return. It isn't an increase in wages. It's literally only an increase for the banking and financial class. Like, what they've done is they've essentially created a loop where they have access to the money first, and it bids up the prices of all of those necessities, of all of those assets that are paid for with debt, and they get it at a low interest rate. And it's not even like most of the people who are quote-unquote participating, who are in the 1%, are just there because they've figured out how best to work in this system. Like, they couldn't even explain it to you. I guarantee you, most of the people who are benefiting from this have no idea why or how it happens. They just know that you should invest in houses because houses go up in value. You should buy assets. You should buy stocks because everything else plummets in value. Wages don't work. You are constantly chasing zero when you are in the middle class or the lower classes. A great piece on this that you cannot miss is Masters and Slaves of Money by Robert Breedlove, which we have covered on this show. Right now it's in a part one and part two, and I've been meaning to, maybe I'll try to go ahead and just get it out and actually do a full, unabridged or uninterrupted version of it without a guy's take. But right now it reads, if you want to go back to those, I'll get the reads right here in just a second. But it's such a good one for really grasping the differences in the power dynamics between one institution, basically between a people that has to work day and night, work their entire lives, and has no privilege, no access, no special treatment to get this monetary good, to get these paper bills or these points in my bank account, that one class of people has to work their asses off for it, and another one can just print trillions of them out of thin air. There is no power dynamic greater on this earth. Understand, the right of money, the promise of a money, is the promise to be able to consume the amount of value you contributed to society. To have earned $1,000 means that you put $1,000 into the collective pool of value and living standards and services and help, that you helped other people to the tune of $1,000 of value. And that means you can get $1,000 out. You can then consume that same amount of value later. The ability to counterfeit, the ability to just print that as much as you could possibly want, trillions of dollars worth, is literally the power to consume the world without ever giving anything in exchange. It is evil. Like, it's not even slightly ambiguous. It is absolutely the height of immorality. And Bitcoin is a technology that fixes that. It is a technology that fixes the imbalances of monetary power. It redistributes it to everyone so that there is no one in charge. There is not a soul on the planet who can arbitrarily print a bunch of Bitcoin. That is the innovation. That is the revolutionary potential of Bitcoin. And the fact that it happens to do payments is really just kind of a side effect of solving that problem. And this is why you should not be paying attention to altcoins. They have completely missed the reason Bitcoin is a foundational shift. It's money. It's not an app. It's not just some fancy new way to make payments. It is an infrastructure for ownership and value that competes with the fundamentals of the banking, government, and judicial systems. The competitor is not Visa. The competitor is not Cash App. The competitor is not PayPal, Venmo. It's not your bank. It is the Federal Reserve. It is the United States government. And it is the court system. That is who Bitcoin competes with. It is external to political jurisdictions enforcing ownership and financial sovereignty and value. That is groundbreaking. And to dumb that down to just how many payments per second it can do at the base layer is so deeply missing the point that it is hard to articulate. So if you're new to Bitcoin and you hear the analogy that Bitcoin is the Model T and shitcoin 132 is the Tesla, I want you to remember that that is a fundamental misunderstanding of what we are dealing with. It is not the end product. Bitcoin is the discovery of oil. And every car you drive is going to be based on it for the next 100 years. It will evolve. It will have new protocols built on top of it. It will be used by services and businesses across the globe. It will open up a parallel economy. It already really has, but it's going to get more robust, it's going to get faster, and it's going to get lower cost. And it's going to do so as the legacy system gets less fair, more expensive, and more bloated under its own imbalances. There has never been a more important time to stop and take a look at Bitcoin. So I highly, highly encourage you to do so. And if you want to learn anything about it, that is why Bitcoin Audible is here. This is why I do this show. I am always here to answer questions. And like I've said a couple times recently, I've been working on a beginner series, so hopefully I have something real to share on that front soon. I know a lot of people have been asking me and bugging me about it, and I'm sorry that it's taking me a while to get this together. But thank you all so much for listening. A thank you to Sylvan for this piece. Again, this is titled, If you only read one thing before buying Bitcoin, read these few lines. Really great piece. Definitely, I will link to the article so you can drop some applause on this. A really good introduction. And don't forget to share it out if you know somebody who's, you know, just coming into Bitcoin and wants to hear those first handful of rules that are so important. This is another one of those great introductory pieces. And I appreciate him for writing this. And this is on the In Bitcoin We Trust Medium publication. Links to all that good stuff, and so you can follow Sylvan on Twitter in the show notes, or if you're on your little app on Cast, Overcast, or Apple Podcast, whatever it is, hit your little info button over there and you will see all of that. And another thing that you will find if you look at that, which you can do right now if you got, you know, your AirPods or your headphones in your ear, you will find a link, swanbitcoin.com/guy, to start your Bitcoin savings plan. And this is the way that I encourage everyone to get into Bitcoin. It's such a good service to just get rid of all of the noise. No altcoins, none of the stuff that's going to trap you in the greed cycle of like, oh my God, I can double my money in a week, because I guarantee you, you're more likely to cut it in half. And that pull is going to get stronger and stronger. Just stay away from it. That's Swan Bitcoin. Is a Bitcoin-only service, and it is a long-term savings plan. It is a way to auto-purchase Bitcoin over a long span of time, and I'm so happy that that service is available now. I buy $50 every week, and I just got my email last night that said, you just stacked with Swan, and it just feels good to know that I'm always adding to my Bitcoin savings, and all I have to do, I don't have to watch the price, I don't have to care about all these altcoins. I don't have to care whether it went up or down today. Like, all I have to do is stay working and put my head down and teach people about Bitcoin. And in the meantime, I'm always stacking sats. If you want to do that and get $10 free to start off and support this show, swanbitcoin.com/guy is the way to do that. And of course, another way that you can support the show, I really want to get this message out there, guys. I think this is the most important thing, like, without a doubt, this is the most important thing I can be doing right now. Like, in this day and age, if we're talking about major problems that need to get solved, Bitcoin is at the heart of solving almost all of them. Without fixing the money, so many of the surface level problems that we have can't be sustainably solved. And as we get more into, as we rush into our digital future, like just blindfolded at a million miles an hour, and with the legacy system just flooded with debt and teetering at every single angle, like, there is no better time to tell somebody. And with the bull run back on the horizon, I know there is that somebody in your life who you've been reluctant to bring it up, or you've just kind of been quiet about it and you didn't want to share it, but it's time to start planting that seed again, to be like, there is a solution to this. There is a very big fundamental problem that's happening, and Bitcoin is absolutely step number one to that solution. And there is a way to protect yourself from all of this. Point them to Bitcoin Audible. Let them know that there's got to be some piece that clicks with them. Like, I'm going to need to lean on you for this. Which piece in Bitcoin is the most relevant to that person in your life? Because we've got it all. If they're going to be hit by the monetary enslavement angle, if it's going to be the economics angle, if it's going to be the freedom and philosophy angle, if it's going to be the equality angle, if it's going to be the independence angle and the radical sovereignty that you can get back, or just the crazy disruption and explosive technological shift that's going to happen with a new open source environment and base level infrastructure for a financial system that runs in parallel external to the legacy one. Whatever it is, we've got it here. We're 425 reads deep. We've covered it all on the show, and we'll be doing it more. So that's what I ask. I'm Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anyone else you know. And let the world know that this is out there, because I think we can do a lot of good with it. And damn it, if the soil isn't ready for it, if we aren't ripe for exactly this sort of thing. More people are asking about it, and more people are suddenly aware of the insanity of our monetary system than has ever been relevant in my life, without a doubt. The time is ripe. Let's take advantage of it. So thank you guys so much for listening. I will catch you next time on Bitcoin Audible. I'm Guy Swan, and until then, take it easy, guys.